up to fourth or fifth grade. We're going to have a quick word of prayer. We're going to jump in. We're into Luke chapter 18. Persevering in prayer is what we're going to talk about this morning. Father God, thank you for those children, Lord, what a blessing. And those who go down and take care of them, I pray they learn about you, more about you. Thank you for every person you brought here, every person that's a part of this church family, Lord, and the blessing they are to it. I pray, Lord, it feels like a family to them. I pray it feels like home because you're here and your presence is here. I pray, Lord, that you would move in a powerful way. I pray that you would get our attention and you would open us up to what you're saying in your word and we would see prayer differently and we'd be a people of prayer. We would pray passionately and we would persevere. Father, I pray you'd forgive us for our sins because we fall short. Oh Lord, you know that. Thank you, your grace is sufficient. So please forgive us, Lord. Humble us and help us to be open to you. And I pray we would allow you to change us. That we would leave different than we came because of you and your Holy Spirit and what you do in our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name and all God's people said. So we know that prayer is powerful. God doesn't change. He is perfect. He is eternal. And he's opened the door that we can approach the throne of grace with confidence through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we see throughout Scripture that prayer is very powerful, very effective. I mean, you can see it with Abraham and David and Daniel and Elijah. Even in the book of James, it says this about Elijah. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced his crops. What's the point? The point is, Elijah's a man just like us. And prayer is powerful and effective. And that's what it says before that. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. But I think sometimes we see prayer maybe wrong. I mean, the perfect example of prayer is Jesus Christ. I mean, he's the one that did it perfectly, and we see that he did it often. If you remember, there were times that he would go and he would spend the night in prayer. He was a man of prayer. But again, I don't know that we always see it right. I don't know that we always do it right. I think sometimes we see it more as, I went to church, I've been pretty good this week, I even dropped a little money in the offering plate, so I can go push the button on the vending machine and he'll give me what I want. He's like my sugar daddy. And that is not how it goes down. He's not our sugar daddy. It's not that he owes us something for doing what we should already be doing anyhow. Prayer. Last week we talked about it talked about the end times. It talked about the return of Christ. And then he goes into this parable about persevering in prayer. And to me, it hits me that we're supposed to persevere until the return of Christ. We're supposed to persevere, church, as a people of prayer. We're going to start in verse 18. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He gave them the point to the parable. He tells us right here in the word up front, the point is not to give up. That we should always pray and don't stop. Always pray and don't quit. He disclosed the point to us. It's a forceful, stressful message here. He's forcefully stressing the perseverance in prayer not to give up. Always to be constantly in the spirit of prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray constantly. Pray constantly. Continue to pray. Pray constantly. not to give up, not to quit, not to lose heart. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. So what's that tell you about the judge, right? If you don't fear God, you don't have any respect for God, and you really don't care about people or their opinions, you probably are not the most fair judge. You probably don't care much about justice or the law. You probably do not have morals. You are probably very selfish, because if it's not about God and it's not about others, it's about you. It does not sound like a judge that I would want to have to stand in front of. There was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." As you know, widows in that time, they didn't have a very good way of making money, very good way to make a way to survive. They were very vulnerable. They didn't have authority. They didn't have many, if any, rights. If she didn't have family, she didn't have much, and there was no way she was going to bribe him. She didn't have it to bribe him with. She didn't have political pull. All she had was her perseverance. All she had was the fact that, "I'm going to come back tomorrow, and I'm going to come back tomorrow, and I'm going to come back tomorrow, and I'm going to drive you nuts." That's what she had. If you see, kept coming with him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." She wanted justice. She just kept coming. She was persistent. That's the point. Persistence. We're to keep on praying until we're home. We're to keep on praying until the return of Jesus. That's what we're supposed to do, church. We're to keep on praying until we see Him face to face. We're to have communication and talk to Him until we're talking to Him face to face. We're supposed to persevere and not give up. We're not to be quitters. We're not to throw in the towel. We're supposed to persevere, and we do it in prayer. "Grant me justice," she said. It wasn't like she wanted more than she deserved. She didn't want something unfair. She wanted what was right. She wanted justice. For some time he refused, right? What do? You just blow her off, right? You just blew her off. He doesn't really care about, well, like we said, didn't care what God thought, didn't care about her. He doesn't care if he gives her justice. If she can't bribe him, he doesn't care. He blows her off. Day after day after day. Whatever, leave me alone, right? That's what's going on. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming." She kept coming, and she kept coming, and she kept coming. If you actually check out what it means when it says, "wear me out," it actually means to blacken the eye. It's to be beaten black and blue. She's beating him down mentally, emotionally. And he said, "I'm going to give her what she wants so she's out of my hair. I don't want to see her anymore," right? Does that mean that when we go to God in prayer, we're supposed to badger Him and bother Him until He gives us what we want? Is that the point of this? Is this point about badgering God? Or is this about having faith to continue to pray even when it's ugly? To trust Him even when you can't see the light on the other side? To continue to go to Him because you love Him and you trust Him? And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says." He said, listen. He said, learn something. There's a lesson here from even an unjust judge. There's a lesson. He said, learn from him. You can learn from him. Even if he's unjust, you can learn something from him. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones? who cry out to him day and night. He's saying, even if this unjust judge will finally give justice, just because she was persistent, just because she wouldn't give up, God, who is good and He is just and He is fair and He is loving and He is merciful and He knows what we need before we ask, He's saying, won't He give justice if we continue to go to Him? If we continue to go before Him, is He not good? Will He not give us justice? I know some people think that means when I pray, if I just keep praying for what I want, I just keep praying for that winning lottery ticket. I just keep praying for that new tractor. Right? I don't know that it's always what we want. It's what's just, it's what's fair, it's what's needed. He goes on to say, I tell you, I'm going to back up. And will not God bring about justice for His chosen ones who cry out to Him day and night? Will He keep putting them off? I tell you, He will see that they get justice and get it quickly. His elect, who's He talking about when he talks about this? Who's he speaking of? His chosen ones. It's us. It's the believers. So I wonder how many people are sitting there thinking, well, I prayed for this and I believe it's just and I pray for it and I pray for it and I pray for it and I don't get it. Why don't I get what I asked for in prayer? Isn't that the question? How many people, don't raise your hand, how many people are sitting there thinking, well, I don't get what I asked for when I pray? Does it go through your mind? Why don't I get what I want when I pray for it? You know, when I was in India, I saw God do some amazing things, but I learned very quickly He is not a genie in a bottle. It is not rub the lamp and get your three wishes. That is not how He plays. He is a Heavenly Father that sees the whole picture, not just pieces of it. I believe He does answer prayer, but sometimes He doesn't always answer prayer the way we think He should. Example, Paul had a thorn in his side, right? 2 Corinthians. He prayed over and over and over. The great Apostle Paul. And do you remember what Jesus said to him? Did God take that away from him? Did He take the thorn from him? Did He take the battle, whatever that battle was, from him? No. He said what? In your weakness, I am strong. He let him continue to have that battle because it was better for Paul. Sometimes going through the hard stuff is better for us because it builds perseverance and maturity. Sometimes we don't get what we want because it's not best for us. Sometimes we go through hard things because it's helping somebody else because they're watching you go through it. Listen, God can change the situation. And He can also change us. And He can also change other people through that situation. He can fix the situation. He can stop the storm. Sometimes He doesn't stop the storm. He just changes us. And sometimes He doesn't change the situation and He works some on us, but sometimes He's just working on other people watching us. But I'm going to give you 5 reasons sometimes our prayers aren't answered. Real quick. 5 reasons. Beyond that. Number one, clear back in the book of James. We're going to be in James and Matthew real quick. Talking about some of why prayer isn't answered. It's James chapter 4. He says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? I'm in verse 2 now. You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask. Why don't we get what we want? Because sometimes we don't even bother to spend time to talk to Him about it. You don't even spend the time to talk to Him. You get up in the morning and you take off all day and you run and you run and you run. And you wonder why God hasn't helped you and you haven't even asked Him. You don't have because you don't ask. Clear back here in Matthew I'm sorry, in Mark chapter 11. I'm going to start in verse 20. In the morning, as they went along, they saw a fig tree withering from its roots. Peter remembered and said, "Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. Have faith in God." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him." Number one, we don't ask. Number two, we don't believe. We don't have faith. We don't really believe he'll do it. We don't really believe he can do it sometimes. We don't trust him. I think sometimes we don't see our prayers answered because we don't ask. I think sometimes we just don't really believe in him. We don't really believe that he'll do it. We don't really trust him, so we just make up all kinds of excuses. Faith the size of a mustard seed. He goes on. It says, "Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have it, received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins." Forgive you your sins. One, I don't think we ask. Two, sometimes I don't really know that we believe. I don't know that we have faith like we should. Three, I believe sin is a distraction in our prayer life. Anybody else agree with me? Anybody else with me? I think sin messes some stuff up. Two more, I'll do it quick. Going back to James. So he says, you don't have because you don't ask. Then he goes on like this. So you do not have because you do not ask. Listen to this. This is a big one, I think. I think this is huge. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives. That you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. Sometimes we don't ask. Sometimes we just don't believe. Sometimes we're just wrapped in sin. Praise God for grace. And sometimes we're asking because we want it for us and our selfish pleasures. And it has nothing to do about him and his will. It's about us. We ask with the wrong motives. And we ask with the wrong heart. And the fifth one is what we're reading about now. We don't persevere in prayer. Why ask once? Didn't he hear me? He knows what you need before you ask. Why does he want you to persevere in prayer? Maybe he wants to spend some time with you. Maybe he wants you to grow in your faith, because I believe it's kind of like practicing a sport. You get better at it when you do it. Right? I had a guy I used to coach with. He said, "You should pray for me. You need to practice and I need the prayer." Maybe he just wants us to spend time with him. Maybe he wants us to truly get into the practice of prayer and work those spiritual muscles. I don't think we ask. I sometimes don't know that we have the faith that we should. I believe we hold unforgiveness from people and wrapped in sin. I believe we ask with the wrong motives, and I don't believe we persevere. But he still listens, doesn't he? He still knows our hearts. So that's under parentheses, some reasons why. And I said some other ones before that. But he calls us his chosen ones. He said, "Will I put you off?" He said, he will answer quickly. Will he put you off? Do you remember the story of Hannah? Anybody read 1 Samuel? The story of Hannah. Do you remember the story? When I read this, it makes me think of Hannah. If you remember what happened, her husband had her and another wife, and Hannah couldn't have any children, but the other wife did. And so when they would go up to the temple, the other wife would nag her and pick on her and to make her cry and to upset her. And her husband would try to comfort her. And if you remember, she went to the temple and she was praying, and the priest was watching her, but she wasn't saying anything. She was just praying, and he thought she was drunk. Remember the story? And she said, "No, I'm not drunk. I'm just troubled at heart, man. I mean, I'm paraphrasing. I'm just pouring out my heart." He said, may God answer your prayer. She poured out to her heart to him, and he gave her justice. He answered her prayer. He gave her a son. I believe he is a God that answers prayer, and sometimes it's what we're praying for because that's what's best. And sometimes it's a no, like with Paul. No, you're going to be better when you realize you're weak. You're better when you realize that you need me. But we're supposed to persevere in prayer. He says, I tell you, he will see that they get justice and get it quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? When he comes back, we're back to the end times. I believe he was talking about the end times, and he tells this parable. Now he's talking the end times. I believe he's saying we're supposed to persevere in prayer until he comes back again. He wants us to have faith because I believe persistent prayer is evidence of faith. If you leave here with nothing else, catch that line. Persistent prayer is evidence of faith. Perseverance in prayer is evidence of faith in the one you're talking to. He's saying, when I come back at the end times, when it's messed up, is there going to be faith? Is there anybody that's going to have faith? Will they persevere? Be persistent? Again, I don't think this is about pestering God. He knows what you need before you ask. He knows what you need before you know what you need. I believe it's about being a people of prayer and not losing heart. I believe that's the moral of this parable. Is to be a people of prayer and not lose heart. If we are saved by Him and loved by Him and forgiven by Him and called children of His, should we not be a people that communicate with Him? Should we not be a people of prayer? It shouldn't be that we have to pray. It should be that we want to pray. That we long to pray. Not that we feel we have to, but we want to, because He is our Daddy. He's our Abba, our Daddy in heaven. Ephesians 6:18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Again, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray continually. We're to pray and to pray and to pray. It should be an attitude of prayer. Again, amen should be commas, not periods. Do you see what He can do? Again, I believe God is still the same God that raised the dead. He's the same God that healed the blind. He's the same God that did all the stuff in Egypt and set the people free. He's the same God that Elijah prayed to and it didn't rain. And the same God that Elijah prayed to and it rained. He's the same God. I believe that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective because His Word said so. Are we asking? Do we have faith? Are we holding unforgiveness for other people? Is it about our motives? Is it about us and our pleasure? Are we asking for the wrong stuff for the wrong reasons? I believe when we pray to Him, He changes situations. I believe He can change us. I believe He can change others around us as they watch us walk through it. Because I believe He is a God who's involved and in the midst, who wants to have a relationship with you. And part of that relationship is you spending time with Him in prayer, church. He's your Daddy. He wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from you. Father God, we talk about it a lot, but it's spiritual work. And it is much easier to say some canned prayer, feel like we've done our duty, and walk away. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to be a people of prayer. that we would be persistent in prayer, that you would help us to grow to be better prayer warriors. Not just so we can get our way, not just so everything will be easy and comfortable, because sometimes comfortable isn't what we need. Sometimes easy isn't what we need. Pleasure isn't what we need. Sometimes we just need to hit the hard stuff to grow. Lord, I pray that we love you. And Lord, that we want to pray because we want to be nearer to you. We want to spend time with you. And help us to learn to pray, to be persistent in it, to be honest in it, to look forward to it, to have faith and watch you work in the midst of it. Lord, you do change situations. Lord, we've seen you heal people. I've seen you do amazing things. But I've also seen you hold their hand until you take them home. And they're both amazing in their own beauty because you're involved in both of them. And you're bigger than all things. Help us to be a people of prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said. If you will, please stand. Turn to page 615.